Good evening and welcome to Amplify, a telephone talk show that looks at life from a religious perspective. I'm Father Ron Lingwin, hoping that you have felt the warmth of God's love in your life this day, especially the joy that comes from sharing that love with others. We've seen a lot of that happening here, the Tree of Life. Synagogue certainly was one of them. People showed great love for those who had been hurt and stood up against hatred. We have a lot to be thankful for, but at the same time, there's so many problems that still exist in the world, still exist in the church, local community, wherever, problems everywhere. And yet we believe that we can give thanksgiving to God for the good things that have happened in the midst of all of those problems. I had a guest scheduled for this evening. She called yesterday, indicated she would not be able to make it because of something in her family. And so we're going to go into open conversation. And that, I guess, a few weeks ago, almost the same thing happened. But I thought tonight I'd really like to talk about Thanksgiving. My plan was to talk about it next week, right afterwards. And I'd still do that next week. I haven't scheduled a program. I may try to do that now that I didn't have one this week. But thought, what about preparing for Thanksgiving? What is it that we should be doing? If you thought about it, what's the greatest thing in your life for which you have to be grateful? Thanksgiving will be difficult for some people, as will Christmas and the New Year, because people have died over the past year, and someone they deeply loved, will no longer be with them. Went through them myself when members of my family died in the past. I had a friend, talked about him on this program, David Wasserman, Pastor David Wasserman, became a Lutheran pastor who broke me in, taught me the essentials, the beginnings of communications, especially from in the area of production, how it is that you would edit a tape, the old day that most people can't even think about now. Everything's done electronically now, so much easier than taking a razor and finding a spot and cutting it. I've talked about this before, but he was only 65, died unexpectedly at a young age, suffering from a disease, and everything just went south for him. I have another friend who's older than me, who is in hospice care now, who has no fear about the future, and believes that he's done his best in life, and indeed he has, and we've become very good friends, and in some ways almost like brothers, as that was the case with Dave too. You can get so close to people, and you thank God for bringing them into your life. So many, many people, and life changes because of that. So what are you particularly grateful for on Thanksgiving? What will you thank God for? Sometimes it's difficult for us because we think of only what it is that we possess, and we tend to be blind to our blessings, don't really understand. We're oblivious to the ways in which God is working in our life, for the things that God is doing for us, and also for those we love. So as we normally do each week, I'd like to tell a story of faith and imagination from the book The Stories of Jesus, a gospel of faith and imagination, written by Connie Ann Valenti, the stories, and I have an introduction to it. But this story, and the reason I select it is for that very reason, it's titled Blind to Our Blessings. It was a hot and tiring day. Jesus was pleased that only a few people had come to see him, because there were only a few loaves of bread to share among them. Peter was even more concerned. An old man asked, "Master, I have been very patient, but I must ask you, Where is the Father when you need him? I need him now, Master. I need him to speak to me. Jesus was silent as the man continued, I have many problems. I don't see clearly. Part of my field has been burned. The workers in my field are careless with the grain. And yes, this, my youngest son, doesn't want to be my eyes and my ears or to be a farmer. My wife complains constantly and is not well. This is what I have been given. Where is God when I need him? Why doesn't he listen to me? Why doesn't he hear us? Does he ignore us? If we are all his children, then I ask, where is he when we need his guidance? I go to the temple. I read the scriptures. Many there comfort me. But I want to speak to the Father alone. If I am his child, then why doesn't he comfort me? Many person has a kind of a relationship with God, with Jesus, seeing only what it is that they need and not always what it is that they have been given, and therefore find it very hard to give thanks, to give thanksgiving. And then Jesus continues. Jesus shook his head and replied, My friend, you have many to comfort you. Are you hungry? No. Are you thirsty? No. Is your wife kind to you? Oh, yes. She complains, but she is a good woman. She has borne many children. Yes, Jesus said, you have many sons and grandchildren. And look, your youngest son has accompanied you. Is this not so? Yes, the old man answered. But his eyes follow others. He doesn't want to be a farmer. He doesn't want to work in the fields. He wants to be a merchant. Jesus asked, Is that so wrong? Did you not follow your heart when you were young? Is this not so? And so we see Jesus turning his questions around so that he can think about what it is that he is asking for by showing him he's not thirsty, he's got a good wife, he's got good children, but he's blind to that. He only sees other things that he wants, and he forgets that when he chose what he wanted to do in life, it was different than probably what his father wanted. And the man grumbles and replies, But I worked in the fields, and did as my father told me, and as his father did before him. Jesus said, Yes, and yet you question where the Father is when you need him. When you prayed for rain, the rain came. When you wanted a son, you had many. When you wanted a good wife, you found one. When you were thirsty, there was water to drink. When you were hungry, there was bread to eat. That is also where the Father's love is to be found. So Jesus is saying, look around you. Look at the experience of your life, what it is that you've asked for and you have received. Why is it that you feel you need to be given everything? You have so much for which to be grateful. And the old man answers, Oh, another man said my wife was taken. Does that mean the Father does not love me? Jesus shook his head and answered, My son, I speak to you now. Everyone experiences pain in body, mind, and heart. We are children of the Father. The children must learn not only from love, but also from pain and sorrow. We must also learn that the Father has given us much. So again, I ask you, what is the greatest thing in life for which you have to be grateful? And after you've decided what that is, what more would you include to your list? What is it that the Father has given to you? What is it that God has given to you in your life? And then Jesus continues his conversation was still this other man. Look at the waters. Look at the sky. In the day there is sun to make the crops grow, and there is water to quench the earth's thirst. There are rocks to build homes, soil to grow wheat, trees to bear fruit. We have the night to cool the earth. We have stars to light the weary traveler's way. This is where the Father is. He is here when we need him. He is always with us. He has created us and given us life and breath. He has given us a mind and talents and various gifts. God, the Father of us all, the Creator, has given us love. He has given us hope. And yes, through me, he has given humanity a dream of eternal peace. Then Jesus looked down, picked up a loaf of bread, broke it, and said, "Share your love with me, and I will share with you the knowledge that has been given to me." A story of faith and imagination. Just think about how you've helped people with gifts of knowledge. They didn't know how to do something, didn't know how to live their life, didn't know how to overcome some problem in their life. And from your own particular experience, you were able to help them. And where does that gift of knowledge come from? Ultimately, it comes from God. And that's what Jesus is attempting to say. You have, to these two people, you have so much to be thankful for, but you're blind to it. Because all you were doing, he says, and he's not doing it to be critical or to condemn, but so that they might learn. And he speaks to them about nature, about how God has created a world that helps us in so many ways, not only with its beauty and power, but with its healing abilities. And there's so much in the earth that life would be so different without. And so, why does giving thanks to God matter? I can speak to Christians. Others can speak to their particular beliefs, their own religious beliefs, worldviews. For a Christian, giving thanks is a response to the goodness and to the mercy of God. Think of how many times you have done what is wrong and your sins have been forgiven. Is that not a gift for which you should be grateful? And additionally, it is a mark of obedience because we are commanded to give thanks. If you look throughout the Bible, there's so many ways. Maybe the word is a little too strong, commanded, but we are certainly asked to give thanks. Why? Not for God's goodness, but for our own, for opening our own heart. And this is because God knows that giving thanks is good for our relationship with him and good for our well-being. Think about the people with whom you have given thanks or you will give thanks this Thursday. I hope you have the ability to sit down with someone you love, not on that day, the weekend, or if you don't have anyone like that, to be able to draw from the memory banks of your heart of past Thanksgivings. It may cause a little bit of thanks of sorrow, but still help us to understand how much we have been loved. And so when we think about the love that has come to us from others, we are grateful. At least we should be. When we think about the love that comes to us from God, our response to this should be a great pursuit of thankfulness. And God knows this, and he knows that it is good to give thanks because it helps us. It opens our own heart. And so in many ways, it is the human tendency to become focused inward and selfish. There's so much of that, not because we are made that way or want to be that way, but because we are influenced by so much in the world. to think of ourselves and to become selfish at times, and that's not good for us. So even secular society, when you if you go to the internet and look at some of the studies that are being made, you'll see that society, secular society, recognizes the emotional benefits of being thankful. Gratitude helps us look beyond ourselves and to gain better perspective, because you think if you're just looking at yourself, are you really looking at the people around you like you should, who love you? Are you really looking around at the world that surrounds you and the beauty that is there? And so we know that everything good ultimately comes from God. In fact, it's in the book of James, it is said that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And so in giving thanks to God, we are reminded of how deeply loved we are, and that there is purpose in our lives, that our lives have meaning. And the sooner we can discover that, the better off we are, and the better chance we have for happiness and joy. We see the gift of all that God has provided for us, both materially, but also spiritually. And we know we can believe in his promises, that he will be faithful to us, that he will help us. And so when we begin to grasp the magnitude of the spiritual blessings that God has bestowed on us, we cannot help but be thankful to him, because giving thanks to God is important because he is utterly deserving of it. Don't you know people were deserving of your love, your gratitude? Giving thanks to God benefits us as well in bringing joy and peace to our hearts. And boy, does that make life better. We're going to take this break, and then we will be right back. Welcome back to Amplify, where we are in open conversation. If you'd like to join us, our focus is right now on Thanksgiving. 4 days from now, come this Thursday, question I've posed: for what are you thankful? Listening just to the news, people were telling us some of the things for which we can be thankful. We just heard that the work that Brother's Brother is doing has done so many crises throughout the world. Gratitude for the turkey fund that KDKA has that feeds people a hot meal on Thursday. And I could mention the same thing about St. Mary Mercy Church and many others around, but that's where I live. The Red Door, as it's called, a sit-down hot meal tomorrow. They feed lunch six times a week, bag lunch, but on certain times bring them in for a big meal. And the news spoke about mixed blessing, that those in California are having a tough time, that it will be words they use, it will be a subdued Thanksgiving, it will be a tough celebration for many people, and indeed it will. And we should not belittle that in any way, but think about the people that were able to get away. How many people could have been killed? I mean, it's like the worst disaster ever, and it's there's always some good somewhere, and we'll wait to see what the response will be. So in terms of Thanksgiving, for what are you thankful? We know that we've started the Christmas season from the secular perspective, from Light Up Night, and certainly the creche that I help coordinate is a part of that. We try to bring the true meaning into Christmas because we look at it as a sacred season. But more and more, it's becoming a secular season. What about Thanksgiving? Is there a sacred part of it in your celebration? When you sit down to eat, will you pray beforehand? If not also afterwards, will you pray beforehand, not taking for granted the fact that you have meals that can strengthen you and then enable you to reach out and help others, because that's what it's all about. It's even what the crush is about. We like to think that it will inspire people to do like Christ did, to reach out to the poor and see how much God then is a part of our life, not just in that place where he was born, in a cave or in a stable within a cave. However it was that God came to be with us. And if you go to, and again, if you want to call with, respond to any of that, what you're particularly grateful for, is God still part of your blessing celebration, blessing is blessing a part of it. Our number here is 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. But if you were a Catholic and you were going to Mass on Thanksgiving, not required to do so, the account that is read on Thanksgiving morning Mass is from Luke. It's a story that's told only in Luke, and it's a story of the cleansing of 10 lepers. And it goes like this. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." Some people in the past have looked at this particular story as one in which Jesus was disappointed or angry. But now we tend to look at it differently, that when you look at Luke's gospel, he goes through a number of chapters talking about Jesus's journey, his trip to Jerusalem, where he's going to die. We don't know how much he really understood at the beginning of the journey. The different scholars believe different things. But when he began his journey to Jerusalem, the disciples wanted to call down fire from heaven upon the Samaritans when they refused to welcome him in their village. The Jews and Samaritans were bitter, bitter enemies. And then a little later, Jesus uses a Samaritan while he's still on this journey to Jerusalem as a model of a good neighbor. Remember that parable of the good Samaritan. And now Jesus, in this gospel for Thanksgiving, uses still another Samaritan as an example, the 10 lepers who had to stand off at a distance, some 50 feet, maybe it was 50 yards, it was a distance, and they had to yell that they were unclean. And the story focuses on Jesus's power to heal, to overcome the evil that exists in the world, and we share in that power. and on a group of lepers who cry out to him for mercy. They're asking for mercy because their life has been changed so radically, taken away from their family and their friends, and have no real social life. And he doesn't tell them they are healed, but he simply tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. That's what was required to show, to be able to prove that a person's leprosy had left them and they once again could be restored to the community. And we're told that all of them were cured, but only a Samaritan comes back to thank him. Now, we don't know if there may have been other Samaritans among that group, but this one man who does come back is a Samaritan, a bitter enemy of the Jews. And what is it that Jesus is teaching us here? When, as he begins the journey, the disciples want to call down fire from heaven upon them. And Jesus, of course, is totally against that. And then he uses the Samaritan as a model, the Good Samaritan, is what it takes for us to be a good neighbor, to love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul. And now to show that it's a Samaritan who comes back, and it's his gratitude, the gratitude of the Samaritan, that opens his heart. And when he opens his heart, he receives even more from God. And one might say, looking at that situation, that the greatest gift that the Samaritan had as a leper was to be cured. And one would say that that's only part of the gift. It doesn't diminish that gift, but there's even more that Jesus wanted to give to him. And he refers to it in some way when he says that he should go, because to stand up and go because your faith has saved you, that something has been awakened in this Samaritan by his being grateful to Jesus, who he thought probably was a great teacher. And he opens his heart and receives then the fuller gift. And that's what Jesus would have been disappointed in, that the other nine didn't come back, so that they too could receive the fullness of God's gift and to learn the lesson that gratitude is an important part of our being that enables us to be like God. Not God, but to be like God. And that's what Christians, of course, are intended to become, like Jesus, to become like Christ, so that his work might continue in the world. And how many gifts, how much blessing have we lost during the course of our life? It'd be interesting if we see that once we get to heaven. How much blessing did we not receive because we didn't open our hearts to receive it? Because we didn't give gratitude to be blessed in return. And so one of the problems is that we can become so satisfied with what we have received that we can't really believe that there's something else that God may want to give to us. We become so satisfied that we can't conceive there is more. And yet we know that when we truly love someone, we can never do enough for them. Think about the person you love the most. It's obvious you can't do enough for that person. I know people that love me who are that way. They can't do enough for me. They love me. And I can only hope that I respond to that love, because that's what love is created to do, given so that it might be returned, not as something that is owned, but rather something that changes you and enables you to become like the person who has been so good to you. And so at some point we become satisfied. That one leper comes back in the spirit of gratitude. Why do we keep coming back to God? when we need something, when we want something? Is it because at some deeper level of our existence, we know God wants to give us more? So there are times in life when we do turn to God, when we want something for ourselves, or we want something for someone we love, or, as we've seen in some of the things that have happened recently, for just we want something for people who are in great need, that at some deeper level we know God wants to give us more. At some deeper level, we know that God loves us and has a plan for our life. And so there is this great attraction with those we love and who love us, because there's more that we want to give to one another. This exchange of love that brings out the best in us, that deepens that bond of love that holds us together. That love, that creative energy that awakens within us, the gifts that God has given to us that aren't necessarily something that become known to us until they are needed. Until we need something, we don't look deep within us to pull forth what it is God has given to us to deal with a particular situation. And so, even though it might appear to be exactly the same words, the same rituals when we express our love to one another, you know, it isn't. It really isn't. Some hearts can never be drained of love. Never be drained of love. You know, people are so loving that they're never going to stop loving because they gave it all away. Some hearts can never be drained of love. And you've had that experience, and maybe you've felt that way with someone in your life. Hopefully we all have. And the heart of God is one of them. And so if we as humans can give so much love and still have so much more to offer, isn't that true of God then? Why wouldn't we think that God is that way, who created us? What is it that you are grateful for? Why do you keep thanking some people and not others? And love is intended to be the primary characteristic of those who believe in God, to follow that love of God. How much faith do you have in people? Sometimes we doubt so much. Those who suffered from leprosy were outcasts in the first century Jewish society, and they were considered to be ritually unclean, which means they could not enter the temple, so many other things they couldn't do, even get close to people. And they were believed to be carriers of a contagious disease and therefore required to live apart from society. And the expression of gratitude expressed by this one Samaritan, the one of the 10 who had been healed in the face of God's blessing, demonstrates both holiness and humility. When you come back to thank God, it becomes on our part an expression of humility, recognizing that I didn't do this on my own. Wasn't by magic, but rather it was God who intervened in my life and has helped me. And it becomes a sign of holiness in the sense that that act of gratitude has brought you closer to God. And so it's a story that is old and yet is new, because it's still happening today. So we can only imagine the joy that the 10 of them felt when they were healed. But why do you think the 9 did not come back? Have you learned from experience, from your own experience, as to why that might happen? Sometimes there is a sense in which we are all like lepers, asking for healing in some form, the healing of a relationship, or physical or mental or psychological healing, so many problems today. But when we give our lives to God in an act of thanksgiving, we are empowered. We are empowered by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, to live then, if we are Christians, to live like Jesus. And so every time we come into the presence of God, God gives us something new, something He never gave us before. So think about it. Every time you thank God, and when do you thank God? Do you thank God in the morning when you get up, asking God to bless you for the rest of the day? Do you thank God at the end of the day for what you were able to accomplish that day? Do you thank God again for the meals, not just on Thanksgiving, but at other times? Placing ourselves in the presence of God then brings us again these continual gifts. And so the passage teaches us that God always wants to give us more, and it's no different in our not being able to give all we can to those we love the most. I can't give someone I love everything that I have in any one particular moment. I give all that I can give at that time. But as I grow in love, as I grow in a lot of different ways, I have more love to give. More love to give to people. And if we really believe that, we would come to God every day in prayer, in gratitude, to receive more of what God wants to give us. And we will never fully understand what we have been given over the years, how we've been forgiven from the power of sin over many centuries, sin that has the power to change us. Welcome back to the second hour of Amplify. We are in open conversation. As I noted at the beginning of the first hour, the guest I had scheduled had a family issue and called yesterday and couldn't make it. Hope we'll have her back in the future. It always helps when you've read a book and are ready for an interview for it to go through and make it easier sometime in the future if I didn't have to do that preparation. It gives me just a little bit more time. So we're in open conversation. We've been talking during the first hour about Thanksgiving. We're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving this Thursday. How will you celebrate it? What is it that you have to be thankful for? Who do you have to be thankful for? But we are in open conversation. Our number here is 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. During the first hour, I read from Luke, the gospel, where 10 lepers approach Jesus and ask to be healed, and only one comes back and after he has been healed. And Jesus wants to know where the others are, largely because he had more to give them. The gift was more than just being healed physically. But there was something more and may have been different for each of the nine. Who is to know? But of the first one, the Samaritan, Jesus says, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." So I would think that his faith was deepened and was strengthened. What would the other nine have received? Big surprise. But what would you have received if you had thanked God more for what God had done for you, given to you? Not that God has held it back, but it's a question of free will. If you don't open your heart to someone, they can't place their love in it. It's when you open your heart that things begin to happen. When you have gratitude expressed towards God, then that's when the miracles begin to flow. I'd like to use one other example. I have a bunch of quotations about gratitude and thanksgiving that we could reflect on. But another such passage in the scriptures, and there are many of them, many saying that we should express gratitude to God, but there are those where people's lives were turned in such a way, changed in such a way that they gave thanks to God. And one is the story of Mary and Elizabeth. When Mary visits Elizabeth, Luke reports, during those days, Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. And studies have shown, doctors have said that that is something that can happen. Leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And so this great expression of gratitude, I mean, she's saying, who am I that this should happen to me? She continues, "For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And so there is this exchange of blessing, where this great appreciation for what's happening in both of their lives, totally unexpected. And then Mary proclaims the greatness of the Lord. She says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his handmaid's lowliness. Behold, from now on will all ages call me blessed. The Almighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is from age to age to those who fear him. He has shown might with his arm, dispersed the arrogant of mind and heart. He has thrown down the rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the lowly. The hungry he has filled with good things. The rich he has sent away empty. He has helped Israel his servant, remembering his mercy, according to his promise to our fathers, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Saying with great gratitude that God does keep his promises. And the canticle of Mary is called the Magnificat from the first word of the Latin translation, is a prayer included in the official prayer of the church. I pray that prayer every evening when saying the office, and it's a song both of Mary, the mother of God, and at the same time the entire people of God, for the graces received in the salvation won for us through Christ. So it's a moment of great thanksgiving, which we are told that the prayer magnifies, quote unquote, God for what he has done for Mary, his humble and faithful handmaiden. Is there anything on Thanksgiving for which you will be able to thank God in the same way? And so the Magnificat then is a wonderful testimony to Mary as a source of hope for us to see what she endured in her life, such tremendous suffering, and her great sanctity leads to her saying, "All generations will call me blessed." Powerful moment of great thanksgiving. And so we go to our various churches, synagogues, mosques, seeking God's blessing. Because we want the best in life for our loved ones. We want the best for ourselves too. But what we need to understand from the passage that I've just read from Luke's gospel is that we can be a source of blessing to others by believing in them, by guiding them, by supporting them, caring for them, and loving them. If you've received that kind of attention, you know what it does for you. And when you think about it, it really is God's way of working through us so that when two lives unite spiritually, and that's what happens when we truly love someone and they love us, we become one. That becomes one. We believe in marriage. We believe the sacrament of marriage does that. But there's so many ways in which we become one with people. When that happens, the best in us emerges. None of us understand fully all the goodness that God has placed within us. That is to say that we are a mystery, each of us, in some way. Not to God, but we are mystery even to ourselves. Although sometimes people will see things in us that we don't see in ourselves, or they'll see things in us that others don't see in us, and that's because their love for us gives them insight, the power to see what others can't see. And so the best in us then emerges, the potential for goodness in us increases, and God's presence then becomes more evident to us. And that's when we will be moved to greater thanksgiving, to greater gratitude, when we see the best in us coming forth, when we see how there's much more good we can do than we realized, and God's presence to us becomes more evident. There's a story that I've used in a homily at times, and I've used it when this particular passage was used in January during the feast of the Blessed Mother. And the story is told about an old woman who went to live with her son, his wife, and their little daughter after her husband had died. She was alone, so she goes to live with her son. And over time, her sight and hearing dimmed. And that happens when you get older. I have two hearing aids now. But her sight and hearing dimmed, and sometimes her hands trembled so much that she needed help eating. And her son and his wife were particularly annoyed after she knocked a glass of water over at dinner and decided that enough is enough. Obviously, they didn't want her there. And so they set up a small table on the other side of the room for her to eat her meals. They got her away from the table. And she sat there all alone at each meal, trying to hide the tears in her eyes. And sometimes they spoke to her while they ate, but usually it was only to scold her for dropping something. You know, why are you so stupid? You know, can't you hold on to things? You can imagine some of the things that were said to her. And then one day, before dinner, the little girl was playing on the floor with her building blocks, and her father asked her what she was making. And the little girl smiled and replied, "I'm making a table for you and mother so that you can eat by yourselves in the corner someday when I get big." Wow. "I'm making a table for you and mother so that you can eat by yourselves in the corner someday when I get big. And so both of her parents stared at her and then began to move his mother back to her place at the family table. And from then on, she ate with the rest of the family. Sometimes we teach people bad lessons. And that's how evil spreads throughout the world, not always by Lucifer or Satan, but it spreads throughout the world by us. We do his work. And so the point is that the two women in the gospel, Mary and Elizabeth, have been blessed. They have been touched by God in a special way. And I can assure you, you too have been blessed by God in a special way, because God knows no other way to bless us, but in a special way, based on our own uniqueness with which he has created each of us, knowing exactly what we need. And so we are blessed, each of us in a special way. And some moments in life are meant to be shared if we are to understand their full meaning and their full impact. That's why Mary and Elizabeth come together and think about how much you've learned in life when you've come together with a friend, when you've suffered with a friend, when you've enjoyed something with a friend, when you've learned something with a friend. Being with a friend sometimes increases the impact that something has on us. Some event in our lives that we experience together, we talk about them from our own perspective. And that's what Mary and Elizabeth are doing. But the difficulty is that more and more people are isolating themselves from others. It's not full, true, personal, intimate communication. And when that happens, we cannot be, or at least we find it very difficult, to be a source of God's blessing to one another. Because when we insulate ourselves from both sorrow and joy, and it doesn't matter, it's on either ends of the spectrum, sorrow or joy, when we insulate ourselves from them, we become less sensitive to the needs of others. And we will not experience God's presence in our life if we don't care, what is happening in others' lives and what they are feeling. It's like listening to the story of the shootings at the Tree of Life. How could you not, in some sense, care what was happening in their lives and what they were feeling? And just to think about the California situation, as I brought up earlier in the program, where so many people are missing, and they just talk about their finding remains and hundreds of people perhaps missing. God hopes that, that's not true. But when we lose interest in one another, then we begin to lose interest in God. No doubt about it. We lose interest in one another. We will lose interest in God. When we no longer care about others and are unwilling to share with others, our love will die. And what happens to you when your love will die? Do you think it will make a difference if you can no longer love because you've made yourself that way? Because you haven't, with gratitude, seen what people have meant to you, what they've done for you, for which you should be grateful? And then we apply that to God. Our very life depends upon God. And so Mary and Elizabeth share their joy with one another and the mystery of God's love for them. I could tell you a whole lot about the mystery of God's love for me, and I'm sure you could do that for me too. And so as we draw ever closer day by day now that we've lighted everything, all the trees and Iran, not probably in our homes yet, that the Christmas is about the mystery of God's life within each of us and God's love for each of us. And so if you have an opportunity, visit the creche at the base of the U.S. Steel Tower building on Grand Street, as it reflects in a visual sermon what God has done for us and how much we are loved and how much that love continues to be sustained by God so that we might indeed share it with one another. Welcome back to the final segment of Amplify. We end just about 5 to 11, so we just have about another 17 minutes. If you, for any reason, would like to join, we are in open conversation at 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. We've been talking about Thanksgiving. I hope that as you approach it, you'll be able to think about what it is that you are grateful for, who you're grateful for, and then you will extend that gratitude then also to God. There are so many ways of expressing gratitude. You can go to the internet and look up the best gratitude quotes, and they'll have, I think one of the sites had like 1,200 quotes on it. So it shows there's a whole lot of ways in which you can talk about Thanksgiving, about gratitude. And some of them are that gratitude is a powerful catalyst for happiness. It's the spark that lights a fire of joy in your soul. Gratitude is a powerful catalyst for happiness. It's the spark that lights a fire of joy in your soul. And these aren't people who are just finding the right words to express something, but it's something that they have experienced themselves. Happiness is the spiritual experience of living every minute with love, grace, and gratitude. In ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give, and that is only that it is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. There are some powerful thoughts there in terms of gratitude can open our life to a lot of spiritual greatness, because we often take for granted the very things that deserve our gratitude. There are people who deserve our gratitude, and God is upon them, and there are people who have actually stated that when they really counted their blessings, their whole life turned around. If you become more aware of what's happening in your life, how it is that you have been blessed, then your life will change, because gratitude helps you to grow and helps you to expand. And gratitude releases greater laughter and joy into your life and to the lives of those around us. So just think about it. If you are talking to various people around you about how it is that they can influence you. We've someone, I could go on here, as you know, but I invited you, and so I'm going to do that. Lisa, welcome to Amplify on KDKA.
Well, thank you, Father. I just got out of work, and I turned on the radio. I want to tell you that Thanksgiving, to me, it means so much. It's so special. It brings back a lot of memories of mother cooking and grandpa sitting there and enjoying just smoking his pipe. Maybe this sounds like a dumb call, but
because I can remember my dad was the one who carved a turkey all the time. No one else could carve it in house because we really didn't know how. And so that's before I was a vegetarian. And Dad would cut it, you know, and it was like his role, and he wanted that role. He didn't want to give it away to anyone else. So, and I can remember that oftentimes at Thanksgiving, we invited people over to be a part of the meal, friends of my mother mostly. And so I'm sorry I cut you off, but you just opened it up to me that, yes, it is very special. We have pictures, in fact, photos of way back Thanksgiving, where indeed my dad's holding the turkey, holding it in one hand, and he's got the carving knife. After a while, you know, that was the big thing, the electric carving knife, you know, that all of a sudden you could begin to cut it, the white meat better. I never liked the dark meat. I was always a white meat person when I was eating turkey. So I could go on, and I can remember my grandmother being with us. She lived with us for a while, not a long time, but was there one Thanksgiving. So, yes, but I cut you off.
No, no. You know, just memories are so precious, especially as you get older. My parents, of course, they're long gone. And I looked at the picture. I'm sorry.
Yes.
And it was just so sad because I'm all alone now. I have no one.
Well, we will send love your way. And
thank you.
I hope you feel, and thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
You have a good and blessed.
Thank you, and I hope you have a blessed Thanksgiving also. Bye now.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye.
Yes, we didn't get into any of those kinds of things. Those kinds of memories. Maybe I should have done that rather than bringing God into it, but I think that's what I do. Bring God into things. Maybe next week, as I said, I didn't schedule guests for next week because I was going to do what I'm doing this week, next week, until the guest canceled out. But there's always surprises. Look at the surprise the Steelers had today. But nevertheless, life is filled with surprise. And there's so much in life, you know, it's been said that the deepest craving of human nature, and, you know, what might that be? You might think it's food for life, but some people believe that the deepest craving of human nature is the need to be appreciated, the need to be loved. And so some people then choose to live with gratitude for the love that will fill their heart when that happens. Because when you're expressing gratitude, you're generating it within your very being. You're generating it within your very heart, where it's truly not gratitude. So you give away what you've generated, but you can't give it all away because you've still influenced your heart in some way. So as you give love away in gratitude, you grow in love. And so we are challenged to be thankful for what we have, and if we do, we're actually going to have more. So that if we think only about what we don't have, then we're never going to think that we have enough. What do you have? Doesn't mean that you don't have needs. What do you have? And there was one quote I remember that said, feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. So maybe that's a thought even as we approach the Christmas season. Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. And so we have to develop that attitude of gratitude, though, without a doubt. And so when you're grateful, some people believe that fear disappears and your life changes. You develop an attitude of gratitude and you give thanks for everything that happens to you, knowing that every step forward is a step achieving something bigger and better than your current situation. So The attitude of gratitude affects how you look at life. More than that, it affects how you look at yourself. And so when you think about prayer, it has been said that thank you, the expression thank you, is the best prayer that anyone could say. And so it's something that you have to say often. Thank you is so important. It expresses humility and understanding. And more than that, as I've been saying, gratitude unlocks the goodness you have within yourself. And it turns denial into acceptance and confusion to clarity. And so gratitude can transform common days. You know, some days are better than others. This would have been a worse day, for example, if the Steelers had lost. But it could be a worse day if a lot more things had happened. It could have been a great day if still other things happened. If we heard that in California they found that most of the people they're looking for were safe and sound somewhere, living with friends or relatives in another part of the country. But gratitude can change ordinary opportunities into blessings. So you think about your life and the opportunities you have to be helpful. Sometimes we fail to act because we believe that there's nothing that I can do is going to change anything. But if two people say that, then if four people say that, if 10 people say that, if 100 people say that, then just imagine what could have been done that wasn't done. That if people truly believe by working together, they could accomplish things. And so gratitude makes sense of our past as we can look at it and see the things that we did were done for us that have helped me to become the kind of person that I am today, enabling me to do the things that bring me joy. And so let's be grateful to the people who love us. Let's be grateful to the people who make us happy, because in a sense, when they make us happy, they're doing something for our soul. They're touching the source of our very being. So we don't know just how deep love can go when we offer it to someone. Depends on the person who receives it, depends on how it is given. And then it depends on how gratitude is expressed beforehand. And so gratitude is, in a sense, the completion of thankfulness. And there's a distinction that is made between thankfulness and gratitude. The thankfulness may consist merely of words, or we should probably take the qualifier out of there, that thankfulness consists of words. It's not merely of words, because all words are important, and that gratitude is shown in acts. And so there's so much that can be done by us in the simplest of ways by just showing people how grateful we are for what they have done for us. And so there's a quote that says, I think it, I'm not remembering now. I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. And I know it is. It's G.K. Chesterton. I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. And so it's been said that gratitude is the healthiest, as we said, of all human emotions. And the more you express gratitude for what you have, more likely you'll have even more to express gratitude for, not because it gives it to you, but it opens your heart and your mind to what it is that you need to do. So our whole program has been about learning to be thankful for what you already have, what you already have from God, and more importantly, what more it is that God wants to give to you when you can go to him in thanksgiving, therefore opening your heart and your mind and your soul. And so that's why thank you is probably one of the best prayers there is. And that gratitude can be shown and our acts. And so tomorrow, try to enjoy the little things in your life. And you may realize that they weren't so little, but really they have been major things in your life. And our life begins to change. It is enriched. And so the way to develop the best that is in a person is by appreciation and encouragement. Show a person that they are lovable, recognizing their goodness. And when that happens, life will change. So there are only two ways to live. And this was Albert Einstein. I remember this. There are only two ways to live your life. One is though nothing is a miracle. And the other is as though everything is a miracle. Try living that way. Try to live your life as though everything is a miracle. Don't forget then how precious life is and how powerful love is. Tell someone now that you love him or her. Pray for peace as if it depended on you alone. And come back next Sunday and amplify with us.